Father, we give you the praise and we give you the honor. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Somebody say loud amen. We had a twofold objective. That is, to understand and know God through the cross. What does the cross of Jesus tell us about God? And number two, understanding the impact of the knowledge of God. Everyone knows that we are all sinners and fell short of the glory of God. Everyone knows that God sent his Son to die for the sins of the world. And he rose him up on the third day, sat him at his own right hand. The question is, what does that cross represent? But before then, there were five things we established in the first service, and that is constant. First, that one of the greatest visions of God is to saturate the earth with the knowledge of his glory. God's vision is to ensure that people know the owner of the universe. I thought you'd leave it a little bit for those who need to take it out. Smetwigglesworth said the earth must be brought to the knowledge of God. Saturate the earth with the knowledge of God. Number two, a major agenda of the devil is to keep the world in ignorance of the knowledge of God. He doesn't want people to know that there is a God. And he doesn't want people to know that God is real. Oh yes, there's nothing like church. Church is fake. Pastors are fake. Everybody is fake. He just wants the whole world to believe that there is nothing real about God. Or nothing real about church. He said, if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world blinded. Thirdly, everything in creation reveals God to the world. God has a witness. Psalm 19 verse 1 to 2. He said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth thy handwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. Jeremiah chapter 18 verse 3. If you start from verse 1, the Bible said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. While he was walking, Jeremiah was hearing. The potter's work was speaking to Jeremiah about God. Everything is saying something. Number four, the major assignment of the ministers of God is to bring men to the understanding of God. Is to bring people to the understanding of who God is. Assignment of the children of God, not just ministers, children as well, is to bring people to the knowledge of God. finally, the cross of Jesus brings a major revelation to the world on the character of God. At that cross, we know God like never before. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 to verse 8. Say, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Question is, what do we understand from the cross of Calvary about the love of God? We looked at five in the first service. We will not go into them because of time. We'll look at five understandings about God in this second service. They sound similar, but they are completely different. Number one, in this service, we understand that God is the God of unfailing love, unfailing. The God whose love does not fade. The God who does not give up easily on people. The God whose love has high endurance capacity. The God who gives people countless chances to make amends. The God who gives people the chance to do the right thing many times. Unfailing love. He is the God who does not keep the records of people's wrongs. If he has forgiven you, your record does not exist with him. Hey! Hey! Many human beings will forgive, but they can't forget. The God of the unfailing love is the God who does not only forgive, but he permanently forgets. Can you check this scripture for me? He said, I am he that blotted out your transgressions for my name's sake, and I will not remember your iniquity. Isaiah 43:25, that person sitting on the media, clap for yourself. He said, I am he that blotted out that transgression for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. The person you offended 12 years ago remembers. But the God of unfailing love, who sent his son to come and die on the cross of Calvary, he said, I can't remember, so you don't remind me. Hey! In Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 3 and in verse 4, he said, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yeah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Everlasting love means love that cannot fail. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built. O Virgin of Israel. Beloved, God has come to someone here today. He said, you may have changed your mind about yourself, but I have not changed my mind about you. Somebody say louder, amen. Somebody shout the Lord must say amen. Number two, from the cross we understand that God is the God of incredible sacrifice. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The God of incredible sacrifice. The God who holds nothing back that is profitable to his people. The God who can give up anything and give up anyone, including his son, for the rescue of mankind. Incredible sacrifice. He's a sacrificial God. The God who paid the debt he did not owe. Because we owed the debt we could not pay. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He said, he that spared not his son, his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hallelujah. Most times, when somebody gives you 10 naira or 1,000, it's because he has some thousands. When somebody gives you a pair of shoes, it means not only does he have some shoes, he has better, maybe newer ones. But it is only God that can give you one out of one. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only. If it was angels, there are trillions. But this one is the only one he has. He gives one of one and gives the best that he has. It's pure sacrifice. There is none of us that have sacrificed near God. Let this say something to you, that there is nothing that is too big and nothing that is too much for God to do for those who walk with him. Nothing. The time is going to come where some of us here will become such an envy of our generation. It's already happening. Where some people almost try to run mad. But that is the nature of our God. There is nothing, even if it was a human being. He said, because you are precious in my sight, I will give men up for you and make person die. A buried person. Somebody say a loud amen. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I sacrifice people for your sake, for you, and people for you. Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for being such a sacrificial God. In Jesus' precious name. Somebody say a loud amen. That was number two. Number three. We understand that God is the God of limitless salvation and solution. Limitless. The God whose salvation plan is not limited in scope. Let me look at sinfulness. You can have durability of sinfulness, and you can have severity of sinfulness. You remember the woman that was caught in adultery? When Jesus said, anybody who has not sinned before should be the first person to cast the stone. And he began to write. Who left first? The oldest man. He said, they began to leave. Because that one had been sinning for long. He considered the durability of his sin. And he took off. And they were going one by one. Hallelujah. The young man who is just 17 years old, that maybe he started doing bad things from age 15, has been sinning for 2 years. The criminal who is now 55 years old, who has been in crime for since age 15, has been doing that for 40 years. When Jehovah wants to save both of them, no difference. That is durability. Now, severity of sinfulness, somebody who steals a pen versus somebody who steals a person. It's called kidnapping. Or kills for ransom. Once they come and say, Lord, have mercy. There is no discrimination as to how long you have been sinning and to what extent your sin was. Let me tell you. Before a judge in the court of law, I'm sure we have some judges here. A first offender is a candidate for leniency. That this man has not done this baptism, has not done a thing like this before. My Lord, temper justice with mercy. But a notorious offender, a serial offender, a habitual criminal, he doesn't get mercy at all. But not with the God of the universe. Can you give him a shout of victory? Because he's too big for us to clap for. But you can combine the clap and the shout. 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 Hey! That was why the psalmist said, if you will mark iniquity, who will stand? But there is forgiveness with you so that you can be feared. Why did I come to this conclusion? When Jesus, Psalm 130 verse 3, when Jesus was crucified, he was in between two thieves. The thief on the left said, look at you, that one was a very hardened criminal. He said, look at you. We have been hearing that you save people. Why don't you save yourself and save us too from this cross? The thief on the right side said, are you such a sinner? So even in this kind of circumstance, your sinfulness is still troubling you. Thou that destroyed the temple. No, that's not this one I'm talking about. Is the two thieves. So the other one said, he said, because of our guilt, we are guilty as charged. That is why we are hanging with this man. Both me and you, you know. You know we are criminals, we know each other. Both of us are guilty of criminality. He said, but this man is an innocent man. He did nothing. They are just crucifying him. He said, Master, remember me in your kingdom. Right on the spot, he became the first beneficiary of the blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. The first beneficiary. He said, this night, today, you will be with me in paradise. You just transferred kingdoms from the kingdom of hell to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus, now back up a bit. Let's read all of it. You know, back up a bit. And Jesus said, and one of the malefactors, the criminals, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if you be Christ, save yourself and us. But the other one answering rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? We are condemned justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. And Jesus said, verily, that is truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Both me and you will give up the ghost on this cross today. And today you are going direct entry to heaven. Others went by direct entry to hell. Yours is direct. The other, what a savior. If it was us, they suffer in hell small. If it is possible. I won't forgive you. Why didn't you repent before today? After you finish killing everybody, you want to change. I won't agree.
Can you give him another clap and a shout of victory? A shout of victory. A shout of victory. A shout of victory.
So, I said, anybody who finds himself in hell actually wants to go there. He that confesseth and forsaketh obtains mercy. Confessing and forsaking obtains mercy. And so in him, we see that he is the God of limitless salvation. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25 says he is able to save to the uttermost. And like they say, with the saying those days that I heard from some Americans, he saves from the guttermost to the uttermost. That is the God we serve. From the guttermost to the uttermost, he is able to save to the uttermost those that come to him. Provided you are not taking the grace of God for granted. We have Romans chapter 6 verse 1 says, shall we continue in sin? Since he is the one who can save us, and no matter how sinful we are, but must we continue in the sin that grace may abound? The answer is no.
Hallelujah.
Number 4, what do we understand from the cross regarding the Master Jesus? That God is the God of indomitable, unbeatable power. Indomitable, unbeatable, overruling power. Psalm 62 verse 11 said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. It is confirmed. Principalities and powers gathered, trying to prevent the resurrection of Jesus. This liar said on the third day he will come out. Let's watch. And all the principalities gathered. Lift up your head, so ye gate without lifting you everlasting doors. Let the King of glory come in. And he rose up. As if the devils never existed.
That's why the Bible said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Verse 2 and 14 and 15. A public show. What are we talking about? We are talking about the God who does not exchange blows with the devil. There is no hit me, I hit you. He doesn't. It is a one-way blow. What they call a technical knockout. Are you following what I'm saying? He said triumphing. You know, there is a difference between victory in battle and triumphing. Victory means you hit each other, hit each other, hit each other. Then at the end, you hit him more than he hits you. Triumph means you just gave, and then he just, you ran through him like a trailer. And you continue moving without matching break. That was what God did with the devil. He does not exchange blows with the devil. Somebody say a loud amen. Even the people who represented God in the Bible, they did like that all the time. Samson never fought with the Philistines. It was a knockout all the time. It was when he messed up that they tied him. And even after they tied him, he said, Lord, give me one blow, let all of them die. He said, this once, just once more. And God gave him. He pushed the pillar. The house came down. All of them died at once. Such that the people he killed in his death were more than those he killed in his life. David was, before Goliath was like that. Goliath was expecting a fight. He said, give me a man, let us fight together. Let us fight together. If he defeats me, the Philistines will be your servants. If he defeats me, the Philistines will be your servant. If I defeat him, Israel will be our servants. And the Philistines say, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. David said, you are looking for a fight? I don't have the time to fight you. I give you just one technical knockout. And he threw the catapult, slung it on his head. He fell face down. Fight over. He didn't give Goliath the opportunity for a return blow. That is the God we serve. Hey! I don't know who God sent me to hear this afternoon, but I am here to announce God is about to give one blow to that devil and give a knockout to every affliction in your life, a knockout to every agenda of hell. Shout the loudest amen.
Don't forget this. The devil may have the first say, but he has never been allowed to have the final say. He can have any say he wants, but never the final say. We saw that in Goliath again. After God has spoken, there is nothing for the devil to say. He concludes the matter. Job said, after I have spoken, they spake not again. My speech dropped upon them. That is a God of unbeatable. That was what he deployed in the resurrection of Jesus.
I announce to somebody here today, God is about to deploy his power. He's about to deploy his might. He's about to deploy his strength and beat down the foes of your life. You believe that, shout the loudest amen.
Take your seat. And finally, once somebody's Easter gift is one blow that Jehovah will give that devil.
you will remember this and remember this message. That finally, eventually, consequently, and at last, the matter ended forever. Did you hear what I just said? Finally, consequently, eventually, at last, the matter ended. The matters of your life and your destiny, the stubborn devils and the stubborn witchcraft and the stubborn forces of hell, that God ended them finally. You believe it, shout the loudest. Amen. Look at your neighbor, say eventually. Consequently. Finally. At last, the matter died. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. It may be something that made you to shout now, but you will be back with a testimony. Finally, this point concludes this last point. And that is that God is the God of finality of action. Finality. He is the God who acts decisively and conclusively. Finality of action. He is the God who does not only bury the warrior, he buries the weapons. Hey! And I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The native doctor and his equipment. Hey! And his altars all buried. He does not just end the war, he burns the weapons of war. That was what he said in Psalm 46 verse 9 and in verse 10. He said, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth, but he doesn't end there. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in the fire. Let me end the war. Let me deal with the warrior. And in case other warriors want to rise, let me see the weapons they will use. He is the God of finality of action. This thing is to trigger faith. See, after God broke the barrenness in the life of Abraham and Sarah, after they gave birth to Isaac, there was no need to pray for another child. After Isaac's mother died, he gave birth to six more sons with Keturah without praying for the womb again. After Samuel's mother gave birth to Samuel, there was no second prayer for the next child. One blow, 20 died. You understand what I'm saying? When the wine finished in Cana of Galilee, and he turned water into wine, that second wine couldn't finish. There was no record. It was a finishless wine. Finality. Jesus on the cross of Calvary said, it is finished. When he announced it, Satan heard, and none could dissent it. It is finished, and nobody could say, no, it's not finished yet. To be continued.
A game can finish today and continue tomorrow. There was draw. Okay, we continue tomorrow. That was not the case. For those who watched from Newcastle, the blood and the glory. The Greek word, telestai, translated, it is finished. That same day, I saw that when a debtor is owing somebody and he finishes paying the person, he writes and the person signs, debt fully paid. It is finished. When a prisoner is sentenced and he has served his jail sentence, the judge or the discharging officer in the prison, whoever, he says, sentence fully served. In the midst of battle, it is finished means battle, victory, fully won. So in all cases, the matter is complete. Who say yours will not be complete? Hey!
If it was completed on the cross of Calvary, look at your neighbor, say, I owe the devil nothing. I announce today you are owing the devil nothing. You are owing the devil nothing. You are owing the devil nothing. And you are not going to be a victim of another prison sentence. And in the name of Jesus, your warfare is accomplished.
Give the Lord a praise and take your seat. Place on the screen those five things I have said in this second service, that God is a God of unfailing love. God is a God of incredible sacrifice. Unfailing love means he has not changed his mind about you. Sacrifice means there's nothing he cannot give up for your sake. Limitless solution and salvation. There's no extent. Doesn't matter how big your sin or your affliction is, he has enough answer for it. Indomitable, unbeatable power. The days of the devil defeating you are over forever. You have lost, the last battle you lost shall be the last forever. By the power of the cross of Calvary, God is the God of finality. Somebody say full stop. He's about to put a full stop, full stop, full stop. When he was on top of that sea, peace be still, it was a full stop, full stop. So shall it be. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout aloud, must say amen. What does the knowledge of God do for us? I said five things in the first service, and they remain. First of all, the knowledge and understanding of God gives God delight and pleasure. We read in Jeremiah 9:23-24, where he said, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You delight yourself in the, you delight the Lord, you attract his attention. When you know him and know him well, you give him pleasure. You endear yourself to him like his son. This is my beloved son. In him, I am well pleased. Number two, the knowledge and understanding of God transforms us into his image. When you know him, when you understand him, you are changed. You are transformed. Was it Psalm 17 verse 15 or the other way? Say, as for me, 17:15, I will behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied because I will wake up in your likeness. The things we are saying now, by the time you understand that God is a God of unfailing love and you know that God made you in his image, your love capacity will begin to improve. See, if God can forgive others, why can't I forgive? That kind of a thing. The knowledge and understanding of God transforms us into his image. Number three, the knowledge and understanding of God stirs up faith for victory. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. The knowledge of God is a booster of faith. It is easy to trust who you know. It is easy to have confidence in someone you know. A stranger says, I have $1 million for you. So this must be a criminal. But somebody you know who has the capacity to do so says, I have $100,000 for you or $10,000 for you. What will you say? Are you sure? No. Say, thank you, sir. I'm so grateful. Why? You know him. Number one, he has that kind of money. Number two, he has the heart to give. Number three, he has a relationship with you. That's how knowledge, the knowledge of God, pushes you further into daring things on behalf of God. That's number three. Number four, the knowledge and understanding of God imparts strength for exploits. The people that do know their God, they shall be strong and do exploits. Strong. You cannot know God and be weak. When you know God, even in the midst of the storm, you are strong. They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. And number five, the knowledge of God sustains the climate of his presence and revival. You carry a climate, you carry an atmosphere, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and it shall come unto us as the rain. We know God, we carry his climate and his presence everywhere we go, because he is with us. Somebody say a loud amen. Lift up your hands and say, Father, thank you. I give you the praise and the honor for your word to me today. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody give the Lord a praise for what you have.